You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Tonight's sermon, we're in a series, Christ Culture, speaking about we want to just be more like Christ. We want the culture of Christ in our church. The Bible says in Matthew 5 verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let me repeat it. Blessed are the pure in God, for they shall see God. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for divine revelation. We pray, Father, that you would move in this place supernaturally. We ask you for your presence, Lord God, just to manifest yourself upon us. We do want to see you. We desperately want revelation of you. We know that if we see you, we will be changed, Father, and we will see life different. We just ask you this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
I want to preach a sermon. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Look at someone and say, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Chickity check. No, I'm not going to do that. No. We don't want too much flesh today. We want spirit. Amen. As you become a Christian, there is a call for purity. There is a call for purity. Pure is good. Now, I want you to think outside of Bible language. When we talk about something being pure, we like it. The word pure, when we think of that, we're talking about things that are clean. I mean, we like clean things. The other day, I remember we went to Nando's. I think it was someone's birthday, and there was lots of us in there, and we went in there. And somebody had was behind me. I think it was actually Sam that was there behind me, and they were waiting to order. And so I had ordered a mango juice drink. And as I was taking it away, Sam said, "Pastor, look at that glass." And there was like a little something in the glass. I said, "No. You're gonna have that one back as it goes." And how many know? Have you ever been? We don't put up with it. Maybe you do. Should I put up with it? No, I'm paying for it, man. Come on, man. Give me a clean glass. I've seen some of you know, you go there, they give you that glass. Some of you, you're the one of those that take it to the tap and rinse it out and polish in the knives and the forks with a napkin. The reality is we like clean things. We like clean things. This is one of the things about, you know, people talk about that new car smell. And, when I was a consultant, I would have company cars, and they would give you a brand new car. Every couple of years, you get a brand new car. And going to the showroom, picking up a brand new car, it was immaculate. And it has that new car smell, and you like it. Because when it comes to things that are clean, we like it. Clean clothes, amen. Unless you're a single brother here, but most of us, we like clean clothes, amen. A clean house. God tries to communicate to us about purity. And he makes a connection where we understand we want things clean. God is saying, listen, I want you clean. I want you pure. I want the word pure means untainted. This is where we get the word holy from. To be holy is to be pure. And God is looking for holiness. Just like we look for holiness. Or should I say we look for purity. Or should I say we look for things which are clean. God is also looking for that. 1 Peter 1 verse 13. This is what the scripture says. Therefore gird up the loins of your mind. Meaning get your mind together. Then he says be sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So basically, put your hope in God's grace that at the end he's coming back for you. But this is the point I want to emphasize in verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So in this passage of the scripture, from verse 14, he says, be obedient children. Look at someone and say, be obedient. As a Christian, you should be obedient to God. How many know that? Now then he says this, not conforming yourself to the former lusts. So the former lusts, what he's saying is how you used to live. Before you was a Christian, he says, don't conform, don't act like the world, don't be influenced, don't act like how you used to act in your ignorance. How many know before we came to church, before we were saved, we didn't know what we were doing? And so we would go out and do some nasty stuff. I know some of you here, you came in, you was born saved, amen. You and Jesus, oh, I was always born. Okay, you praise God. But let's just say the rest of us, how many know we've done some nasty things and we don't want nobody to know about it, but we were ignorant. We didn't know what we were doing, man. We didn't know. And the Bible says, okay, that's fine, you're saved now, but don't go back to them. That's what the Bible is saying. He says, listen, don't go back to them, be holy. Look at someone and say, be holy. Look back and say, you too. See, God is calling us to be holy. God wants us to be holy. That's what he wants, church. See, a Christian, a follower of Christ, should be living a new life. Christian, you should be living a new life. You should be living a holy life. He said, be holy. That means you should be holy. I should be holy. He says, be holy for I am holy. God is calling us to holiness. Now, this is where much of Christianity falls down. If I'm honest with you, in our day and age, this is where much of it falls down, is that people, they don't want to hear holiness preaching. What people want to hear is preaching that tells them, listen, God's gonna bless you and God's gonna just take care of you, and God, he will do those things. That's the truth. He will bless you and he will take care of you. But he also calls you to be holy. He's asking you to be holy. He says, listen, you got to be holy. And so many times people are just, they're like, do we understand the dimension of holiness that God is calling us to? Now, what does that mean? Because it sounds kind of old English, holy. There's a level of morality to your life. See, the opposite is for you to be immoral, unholy, unclean. The word that we use is defile. The word defile means that you are not fit for purpose. You no longer become fit for purpose. How many know if you went to buy some food? So you bought a takeaway, you've bought some food, you know, you're going to have some rice and peas and, I don't know, oxtail and whatever. And they give you one of those little plastic spoons. Let me know, you go there, they give you a plastic spoon. And you drop the plastic spoon on the floor outside in the gutter. Yeah? And as it was there, you realize there's some dog stuff there. How many of you are leaving that baby there? That thing can stay there. How many are leaving it there? How many are going to pick it up? How many are gonna wash it? No. It's not fit for purpose. How many know it's defiled? I'm going old school style if I have to. I'll start going like this. Some of you know, you could teach me. But listen, that's the way I'm going, because what we would say is that is now defiled. It's not fit for purpose. Do you know the Bible says we can defile ourselves? Did you know that? The way you live and the way I live, we can defile ourselves. Where God says, I look at you now and you're no longer fit for purpose. And I'm not talking Old Testament. I'm talking from the lips of Jesus himself. Mark 7 verse 20. Look what he says here. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. What comes out of a man, meaning the actions that originate from the inner man, they defile a man. From within, out of the heart of a man proceeds evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Now, let me give you a little bit of insight into what God is showing us here. He says, many times the sinfulness that we express comes from within us. This is why people will argue about certain things. Let's bring it up. Homosexuality. And they'll be like, it's from within. It feels natural to me. Well, because the Bible says that is where sins originate from. Within you. This is why you say, well, this is what I want to do. In me, there's a this or that. This is how I feel. It's natural to me. Because it's coming from within you. Because the Bible says, from within. When a man wants to sleep with a woman he's not married to. That's called fornication. Where does that desire come from? From within. From within. Jesus says, it starts with the heart and it works out. See, Christianity is about changing your inside. You need to change your inside. They say that, you know, you can wash a pig. You can pull a pig out of the mud and you can wash that pig and you could, it'd be super clean. And you could tie a bow around it and squirt Chanel on it. And you could put like a diamond little necklace and walk it up and down the nicest streets of London. But let me tell you this now. Let that pig go free. That pig will run right back to the mud. Because it's a pig. Because its nature is, that's what it is. This is why, when you become a Christian, what God is looking to do is change you from the inside. Yes, he wants to change Courtney from the inside. See, Courtney was like a pig. He would run into the club. Oink, oink. That's where he is. On drugs. Sniffing around women. Criminal activity. Lying. Just wicked. It wasn't that somebody captured me and just forced me. Okay, you're not going to. No, I came into a church service. I heard the gospel preached. And the light came on. Look at you. You're a pig. Look how you're living like a pig. God never made you to be a pig. And something inside of me started to change. I lifted my hand. I want to pray to accept Jesus. I came down and I heard the call and I came down and I prayed a prayer and God started to change me from the inside, that I would listen to music that I used to listen to and I'd be like, no, that's swearing. Every time I hear the swearing, it's grating on me. Before it was like blank, 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 blank. Yeah, and I'm going to blank your blank. And then but now it's like every time I hear it, it's like something's not right. A friend bring me, yeah, let's go to the pub, let's go to the dance, let's go pick up these girls. Yeah, let's do it. And there's something's not right. I can't. I don't think it's right. A day ago, I thought it was okay. But God has changed something about me on the inside. This is why some of you that have recently been saved, you're involved in things, but something about you is not getting the same pleasure anymore. Something about you is doesn't feel comfortable anymore. You go and hang with the same friends and sit around with the same places and they're cracking jokes and watching things and playing music, but something in your spirit says, I don't belong here. Because God is changing you on the inside. See, living for Jesus is God renewing your heart, changing your goals and your motives. But let me ask you a question today. Are you letting him? Because you know you've got to let God change you. Do you know God doesn't force anybody's will? I mean, no, he doesn't force anybody's will. It's not like one day you're going to get up and, you know what, today I think I'm just going to go smoke, man. And you go to reach, just, come. And the voice says, you ain't going nowhere today. Oh, no way, man. Oh, all right, let me just say, Emperor Father, thank you for your grace. Oh, wow. I mean, no, God could do that. Yes. He could do any of those things. He could just flick a switch and you'd be like a robot. You're like, oh, I'm not going to church today. You just get out of your bed and, oh my days. He could do that. But he doesn't violate your will or my will. What he does is he invites you. He says, call upon me. And then he comes in to your heart and he starts refurbishing your heart. And it's for us to step back and say, you know what, allow him to do it. And this is why you get to this place where we spoke about being empty, being poor in spirit. Remember, this is what we spoke about? Mourning. Meaning that, you know what, I don't like the way I am at the moment. God, please, please change me. About becoming meek, about becoming merciful. And then he comes to this place where he says, you know what, now let us be holy. See, God is really looking at the heart, church. Blessed are the pure in heart. Meaning the inner man, the center of you. Not just what you show people. Can I say to you today, pure in heart is you being truthful. That's what he's talking about. When he says, I want you to be pure in heart, what he's talking about is I want you to be truthful. I want the inner you, the true you. Where you would confess, this is who I really am. This is who I am. Looking pure and being pure are not the same thing. Looking pure and being pure are not the same thing. And what I mean is by that is that people that come to church but refuse to change. When you come to church, you must come to church with the intention to change. Let me repeat myself because this is so serious. When you come to church, when you attend a church, when you join a body of Christians, you become one body. You become into this body. You want to fellowship with us. You must have the intention, God, I want to change more and more to be like Jesus. If you come into a church or you're looking for a church and you want to attend like how you go to a concert or a football match, just to basically be a spectator. Pastor, I want you to get up, tell jokes, reveal the Bible, make it witty, make it stimulating, make it applicable. And it's like, bravo, wonderful, encore. And then you leave. And it was like an entertainment. It was like, you know what, in some weeks, I don't think Pastor really did it. You know, he was off his ball today, off his game today. It's like you've watched a football match. Oh, they didn't score. Oh, yeah, they scored a hat trick. No. The reality is it should be all of those things, I guess, to be a good communicator. But in essence, it's your responsibility to be willing to change. You've got to be willing to change. Because if you continue to come to church and you do not want to change and you don't change, you're going to turn into a hypocrite. A hypocrite means one that wears a mask. That's what it means, one that wears a mask. One that basically covers what they are. They have a church mask and then they have an out-of-church mask. They have a church mask and they have an at-home mask. Some people, if we saw what they did at home, if we saw what they did at home, we'd be like, oh, my days. Good gosh. If we saw them at work, we'd be like, woo. One that wears a mask. See, this is what hypocrisy is. And even the world hates hypocrites. And I know that, you know, when you try to witness to people, bring them to church, that's like the card, isn't it? The sinner's card. They're the hypocrites. Some people don't even know what it means. What does it mean? Oh, I don't know. I heard someone say it. You know, they don't even know what it means. What does it mean? It's just like, yeah, leave me alone. That's what it means. I don't want to come to your church. But they have learnt it somewhere. Because Jesus actually used that word against the religious people of his time. He says, you hypocrites. See, to be pure of heart is to be truthful. Is the opposite of hiding sin. And here is a big one, is that we come to church And then we get saved for a while, and then we start to hide sin. Listen, if you're new here, I understand that you're going to go through some processes, that you're going to have to figure some stuff out. But after a while, you can't be raving on a Saturday night and then coming to church on a Sunday. You need to change. I'm telling you now, you need to change. You can't be putting up a status sis of yourself in a bikini and then you're coming to church. Come on now, you've been saved a little while now, man. We don't need to see that. I want to text, oh my days. No, I'll just text you, yeah. How many know? Comes to a point where we need to see a change. You can't be hanging, you can't be in bed with your boyfriend or your girlfriend Saturday night, sinning in the eyes of God, and then come into the house of God. You need to cut, if that happens, you need to at least come to the altar and say, God, forgive me. You need to come to repent. And you can't come, and then we say, hey, how you doing? Fine, I love it here, fine. Wonderful. Praise God. And nothing is changing, nothing is happening inside. Listen, you can't do that. And let me speak to the older Christian here. Don't start to hide sin in your life because of your reputation or your position. Because of who you are, your reputation, people know he's a man of God. But you're involved in things. You're struggling with things. You're barely hanging on. You're doing things that if we found out, we'd be shameful. Those of you in ministry, listen, do not put your ministry above your own salvation. I'd rather lose my ministry than lose my soul. But sometimes, because of our position, sometimes because of our reputation, we start to hide sin in our life. This is the opposite of what Jesus is speaking about. Because this is where the danger is, church, is that it will start to blind you. Sin blinds people. You think, reality is right now, none of us can see our own faces. None of us can see our own faces, man. There could be, things going on. We don't even know what's going on. We need someone else to show us. But what sin does is it blinds you that you don't even see yourself anymore. There are people, you could be involved in things and you could sit here under the preaching of this message and you could be just sitting there trying to biblically pick apart what I've just said and think that you're right because it's making you feel uncomfortable and convicting you. You're trying to find a loophole in it. And you will leave here justified and you know you're involved in things you shouldn't be involved in. That's how sin will blind you. That's how it will blind you, that you think you're okay. What it means is as many times how sin will blind you is you think you're traveling in a straight line. But really, you're just drifting. And before you know it, you're way off where you should be. You're way off where you should be. Many times you start to see, when someone is hiding sin, they're making decisions and doing things in their life. And you think, what are you doing? That's nuts. That's madness. Because there's secret sin. You're hiding it. You don't see it. You have a different spirit driving you. You've become toxic. It's leaking out of you. You know what's going to happen? If you won't become pure of heart, if you won't just come before God and say, God, this is who I am, you're going to fall. And when you fall, you're going to fall hard. You know God doesn't want that. you know, God doesn't want to, you to fall hard. You know, God wants to deal with you one-on-one. Do you know that's how he loves to deal with you? You know, amount of time God has convicted me about things and no one knows about it. I'm not talking about things that would discredit me or, you know, make me null and void in my ministry, but just attitudes and things. And God just deals with me. He doesn't, you know, text you all. Yeah, you know what? You get a text in the morning. Yeah, this is God. Just to let you know, Pastor Courtney, he was driving the other day and he just shouted at this guy. You know, he cut him up and he just shouted at the guy, telling him, "You muppet." No, I mean, no, you don't get that. But God can. I go to God in prayer and he can. Oh God. I remember just becoming the pastor here. And I was going over the Dartford Crossing. And this guy in a lorry, he basically just hit the back of me. And I got out of the car and I flipped out. Like, I didn't hit the guy or anything, but I lost my temper. I'll be honest with you, I lost my temper. I mean, you're mad. And I just become the pastor. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it didn't go on for long. It kind of. And then I just, oh, you're a Christian. Not that you're the pastor now. Like, what if someone in your church saw you to do that? No one saw me do it. But I was so convicted. So convicted. I made a thing with God. You know, I'll never do that again. Never, 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 never. God, you have to help me. I need to change. I cannot be this rowdy guy. But listen, that's where God deals with us like that. That's where he deals with us. Because listen, if I don't deal with it. I remember one time in the early days of the church, I was driving. I think Kyle was in the car with me. We were driving in Battersea and someone did the exact same thing. Hit me from the back. And many times I've heard him testify. You know what really, he'll say, you know what really stood out to me? Pastor just got out calm. Got out calm. You know why? Because God had dealt with it, me and him. We had dealt with it, me and him. Imagine I got out and started fighting with the guy. You know, the church has just begun. What I'm saying is this, is that deal with the sin at the very beginning. Deal with your sin at the very beginning. Listen, it's probably small right now. Whatever you're involved in, we could fix it. We can come and bring God's transformational power to it. Confess it. Bring it to light. But if you continue to hide it, you're building. And eventually the Bible says, Jesus communicates. And he says, there's a man, the one builds his house upon sand, one builds it upon a rock, the one who builds it upon the sand. When the storm comes, it will fall. How great is that fall? And when you fall like that, everybody knows, and it's so shameful, and you're like, oh my days, did you hear? And all of that. It never has to be that way. That's not what God wants to do, church. It's like a balloon that you just keep pumping, 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 pumping. Eventually, it's going to explode. You know what you need to do? You've pumped it up. You need to look at it and say, you know what, let me take some air out of this thing. That's what happens when we come and we repent. We're letting the air out. That thing never has to explode. There are some things God wants to deal you and him. He just says, listen, come, let's deal with this. Let's just deal with this. Let's just deal with this right now. Come to the altar. Let's pray. Repent. Maybe you need to bring it before the pastor if you need help. And no one else needs to know. It doesn't have to go around the church. This is what it is. Many times people have come to me, Pastor, will you pray for me? This is what I'm struggling with. No problem. We can work it out. No one has to know. You pray. I'll be praying for you. And I've seen countless, 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 countless times people go on to do great things for Jesus. Because the heart of God, he doesn't want to shame people. My heart, I don't want to shame nobody. But when you hide it, you're heading for a great fall. Mm-hmm. Right. What you've got to do, and what we've all got to do, is come clean. Stop hiding. To be pure of heart is really to come clean and say, look, this is what I'm going through, God. I need to confess this. The Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we do not have any sin, he says, you're lying to yourself. Could there be people here, you're lying to yourself about something that you're involved in? You know the famous last words, I got this. Famous last words, I got this. No, it's got you. Just you don't realize yet. I got this. No, he's got you. You've been saying, I got this. Devil's like, listen, I got this. He's talking about you to the demons. I got this. What we need to do is confess. He says, if we confess, the process of restoration begins. Just confess. If you will confess, the process of restoration begins. Let me tell you how the process is. Confession is before repentance. You cannot repent of something that you're not willing to confess. Because confession is you saying, this is wrong. I can't make no excuses about it. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to play games. I'm not being a secret sinner. This is wrong. That's what confession is. Until you confess it, you haven't repented. You haven't repented. You cannot repent of something that you won't call bad, that you won't say, this is wrong. This is sin. Once you confess it, then there is repentance and then there is forgiveness. So think about this. Confession leads to repentance. Repentance leads to forgiveness. Without confession, there will be no forgiveness. Without confession, there's no forgiveness. But God just loves me. He does. But the Bible says he calls us all to repent. Do you know God doesn't forgive you because he loves you? Did you know that? God doesn't forgive you because the Bible says, for God so loved the world. God loves everybody. God loves everybody. We believe that. We're not of the doctrine that we just believe God is only picking certain people. God loves everybody. It says it clearly. God loved the world. But why is not everybody forgiven then? Because the Bible says he forgives us because those of us that have repented and turn to Jesus. See, his love sent Jesus, and in Jesus we can repent. And that's where we find forgiveness. That's where we find forgiveness. It's at the cross. We come to the cross and we say, God, you know what? My sin, this is wrong, and I can give it to Jesus. See, you can't give Jesus something that you haven't confessed yet. Jesus is not, you know, I mean, not to be blasphemous, but Jesus is not taking, you know, our pleasure on the cross. He's not taking fruit and veg on the cross. He's taking sin. And if you won't call sin, sin, then you can't give it to Jesus yet. We need to confess. The Bible says that if we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's coming to that time of year where we're rain and not rain, rain and not rain, spray on the road, all of that. I hate it when my windscreen is dirty. I hate that. When it's, you know, and now we're driving, it's getting dark early, and so you're driving and people's beams are on, you can't see, and all of that. And so I'm always using the windscreen wipes. But at the moment, my water's gone. And I keep meaning to fill it up, but there's no water there. And it's even worse if you go on the motorway like that. Sometimes you've ever gone on the motorway and you forgot to put water in there. You're driving on the motorway and all of a sudden, and it makes it worse. How many have ever done that? It's made it worse. Because basically it's just smeared the dirt. And now the light is catching it. You're barely driving. You're looking out the window. You're doing everything. You can't see clear. See, in our text, you know what it says here? It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to say to you today, purity opens your eyes. Purity is going to open your eyes. There are some people, you're confused about what to do. You know why? Because God is saying, deal with this. Repent of this. What's God going to do? Am I going to be a missionary? Am I going to be a pastor? Am I going to... God's like, listen, stop doing that. Stop doing that. Deal with it. Let's deal with that. Let's just deal with that for now. If you deal with that, you'd be able to see other things a lot clearer. If you would put some, allow God, should I say, to put some water in that tank in your car so that you could press that button. Ah, I see now. I'm no longer confused. I can see clearly. It will help you to make right decisions. You know, the saddest thing is that many times, many of us are living the consequences of foolish decisions. We're living the consequences of foolish decisions. And you know why? We made those decisions blindly, unrepentantly, in compromise. We was in compromise. You're making decisions when you're in compromise, and then you're going to live those decisions. You say, yeah. Well, no one knows what I'm doing. And then you, no problem. God's like, I see exactly where this is going. Repent. Hey, pastor doesn't know. You know what? You make a decision, and then it's the worst decision. Financial decisions. All different things in your life. What God says is repent. Repent. If you would repent, that you would be able to see clearly everything that's going on so that you could make right decisions. I want to say this. Let me just slip this in there. Those of you that have been saved a while, do not be foolish. Right now, you've got a certain clarity of mind because God has saved you. And you're making decisions and they're successful. You're doing things. Don't think that's you. That's God. His righteousness has opened your eyes. Your windscreen is clean. Because you know what happens? We start to think that's us now. And then we leave God behind. Thinking, hey, I've got this, man. I'm successful. And it starts to clog up again and you make a mess of your life. Not only in decisions, but you will see God moving in your life. This is why unrepented sin hinders ministry. As a key element of ministry, one of the things that I believe, and I've always preached it, and I have to live, but listen, church, I have to live this. Can I say that to you? I have to live this. If I don't live this, then what's the point? I have to battle with my own flesh. I have to battle with my own mind. I have to read my Bible. I have to pray. I have to do it. Because if I don't do this, it's all going to fall apart eventually. You know when you're driving a car and the engine is on and your car is moving? Do you know you could actually turn off the engine and without touching the brakes, the car would still roll for a bit? But it's not the engine that's doing that. It's just the momentum. And sometimes God can use you to do things. He's using you and you're being used and things are happening. And then you start to dabble in things you shouldn't be doing. But things are still happening. Things are still happening. That's just the momentum. That's not God's favor on you. That's just His grace. That's the momentum. Don't think, oh, I don't need to repent. I don't need to. No. I have to put things in my own life, things in my own marriage, things in my own finances, things in my own computer. Things that I go for every temptation, every other guy, and I have to discipline my flesh. There's not one man here that has any more temptation than I have, or any less. Pastor, it's hard. This is difficult, you know, Pastor. Boy, this is hard, man. Bro, it's no harder for you than it is for any of us. It's no harder for you. Yeah, Pastor, you're old, man. Listen, I ain't that old. I got eyes in my head still, and they see good. If you want to see a move of God, we need to be pure. I don't say this as a false humility. I don't consider myself to be some sort of genius, some sort of super preacher, super this. No, I'm average guy. But one thing is this, I realize. I love God, and I love my wife, and I try and love people. And I say, God, can you use that? Can you use that? I'm just going to do that. That's when I came here, people were like, what are you going to do? Listen, I don't know what I'm doing half the time. Half the time I know what I'm doing. But you know what? God moves and he seems to save people and he does things. You know what? I just got to do this. Keep loving God. Live pure. Love my wife. Love people. I don't get distracted by the ministry. I'm a minister now. No. If you want to see a move of God, God moves through pure things. Jesus today, he wants to put some water in your tank. We don't want people to come down. I'm going to change. That's it. I'm going to change. I'm going to be different. And you're working yourself up. You're sweating. You're crying. You're a mess. No. This is not, I feel so guilty. Will God even? No. That's not what this is about. If God was to mark any of our iniquity, who would stand? I'm here by grace. Maybe you think you've earned where you are. I'm here by grace. When you see someone do something crazy, you know there's a saying, there goes me, but for the grace of God. The Bible says, listen, when you see someone fall in a sin, restore them in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself. We need to come down and say, God, I need to deal with this. And God is like, listen, there is plenty of room. I can deal with this. And in the end, we will eventually see God. Listen, I want to see God one day. I want to see Jesus. I don't just mean, you know, praise God, you feel God in this place? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And I'm being honest. But one day, we will take off this mortal body and we will put on immortality. Do you live for that? Are you living for that? Listen, if you're not living for that, there has to be something in you that's living to one day see Jesus. Because that alone is a motivator. Hey, look, I'd like to go, ooh, yeah, let me touch that. Let me have some of that. No. Bro, if you do that, you're not, no. You're nice, but I'd rather see Jesus. Listen, ladies, there's no guy in here worth not seeing Jesus. I don't care what he's got, what he can do to you, what he's done to you. Listen, there's no brother in this place. He calls you up, listen, no, you ain't worth none. You're a punk, you better beat it. Can I say, look, men in this place, there is nothing that's going to compare to seeing Jesus.
Amen.
Listen to what the Bible says, and then I'm going to close. 1 John 3, verse 2. Behold, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. How many know it's not really revealed? How many know I look ordinary? You look ordinary. You know what I mean? How many know we just, you know, no, I'm not ordinary. No, you are. You just look like you. There ain't nothing special, really. No, you know, we don't see anything special. He says, what you really are, child of God, hasn't been revealed yet. Look at someone say, the best is yet to come.
Yes.
He says, listen to what he says. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Oh, my days. When Jesus reveals himself, you're going to see who I really am. Who God really made me to be. And we're going to see who you really are. There's a whole... Right now you're working yourself up. You're getting fit. You're beautifying yourself. That's going to rust and dust. When Jesus appears, this is what I'm living for. He says, but you're going to see him. He says, and everyone who had... But we know that... When he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone that has that hope in him, do you have that? Is that your greatest hope? Is your greatest hope getting a house? Is your greatest hope getting a job? Is your greatest hope getting married? Having kids? Is that your greatest hope? I've got to have kids. Is your greatest hope? The Bible says, when your greatest hope is one day seeing Jesus and realizing when you see him, oh my days, I'm going to be living for all eternity with this Superman body. He says, when that is your hope, I need to purify myself. I need to live pure. No, thank you. No, I need to keep myself. I need to discipline my body. I need to live a certain way. Don't get wrapped up with the temporal blessings that you forget the real blessing. Live pure, you will see God one day. Live pure, and you will see God one day. Purity is not an option. A few months ago, I can't remember what it was. After a revival, a lot of us went to Nando's. Some of you remember this day. A lot of us went to Nando's and they ran out of chicken. I remember that day. Like, come on, man. We went there and they ran out of chicken. They're like offering people peri-peri salad and that. Peri-peri tomatoes, man. I mean, when we go to Nando's, we want chicken. Like, run out of the rice, run out of the chicken, you can run out of the olives, you can run out of anything, those peanuts.
That's true.
You run out of chicken. Because when you think of Nando's, you think of...
Chicken.
Can I say Christian? That's how God is. God comes down, he comes down to the Potter's House, Wandsworth. He's like, yeah, come on, let's go down to this. It's about 7 o'clock, praise and worship's about to start, Brother Adrian's on the stage, yes, I'm ready for this. God is... His presence is here. It's like, here, we're going to get down. And you lift up your hands and he's like, no holiness. How can it be a church and there's no holiness? Comes to your home group. Yeah, 7 o'clock Friday night. There's no holiness. The ushers, no holiness. Praise and worship, no holiness. We're among the youth. No holiness. The overfays, no holiness. Hey, listen, old people can sin just like young people, man. Don't get it twisted. Comes down to the marriage. Comes home with some married couples, no holiness. Goes home with a single guy. Let's deal with some business today. Let's get some things right today. Let's put some things on the table and let's say, God, we want to see you. We have to see you. We need you. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.